Hi, everybody. My name is Melissa Campanelli. I'm the editor-in-chief of Retail Online Integration and EMMC, and I want to welcome you to today's live webinar, Winning and Keeping Customers with Stellar Customer Service, sponsored by NanoRep. The customer landscape is changing today. Customer expectations are high around customer service, and should be. Every penny counts in today's economy, so consumers expect nothing but the best from the companies they choose to do business with. Now more than ever, providing excellent customer service 24/7 and evenly throughout all customer touch points is what will keep your customers coming back and give you the competitive advantage you need to survive in a tough and increasingly uncertain business climate. In today's webinar, Jeannie Walters, the CEO and founder of 360 Connect, a customer experience consulting firm, and Richard Wagoner, the director of web services for CabinetParts.com, will discuss how to win and keep customers by using stellar customer service techniques and tools. Today, you'll learn how to improve customer satisfaction and care, the latest trends around social customer service, how to use technology to improve the customer experience, and how to increase conversion rates with superb customer service. Before we get started, however, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. Common problems like the loss of sound or stall in slides can often be fixed by a quick refresh of your browser. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. And please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how to customize your experience today. Okay, with that, let me pass this on to Jeannie Walters. Take it away, Jeannie.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk to all of you about stellar customer service. And what I'd like to talk about is how customer service can be applied to touch points from the beginning to the end of the customer journey and why that's so important. Customer service is no longer a one-time reactive thing. So my first question for you is this guy your customer, this grumpy old man? And you might be looking at him thinking, no way, our customers are satisfied and loyal. But I'm here to tell you that the answer is yes, that guy is your customer. And you may not even know it. And right now, the way that customer support is working is that somebody might or might not tell you that they are dissatisfied. They might be satisfied enough to stay with you for a little while until the competitor lures them away. And if you have somebody who's bold enough to actually tell you they're having a situation with customer service, it can go a couple different ways. They can complain, get their problem solved, become satisfied again. They don't complain and they stew and they become a dissatisfied customer, maybe even tell their friends. They complain and their problem becomes unresolved, and guess what? They become even more dissatisfied. So the stakes are really, really high right now around customer service and how we're dealing with things throughout the customer journey and the customer experience. Your customers live in an ecosystem, and so do you, and this is about how to address customer service not just at those points where the customer is complaining, but throughout the ecosystem and the journey. And one thing I want to impress on you is that even though it's the biggest issue around your life when they call in, it might not be their biggest issue. They really need to fit you into their whole life. So something that happens as a blip could become a much bigger thing if it's not handled directly. So this is a typical customer journey. These are the phases that your customers go through. Awareness, consideration, selection, that's where they're deciding to work with you. They're deciding to actually purchase your products or services, and they're also deciding if you're a brand that they're going to care about. They might make that decision to purchase, and maybe they become satisfied. Satisfied means that you meet their expectation. It's kind of table stakes in today's world. What you're really going for is loyalty and advocacy. And the way you provide customer care and customer service throughout the journey can actually help you with that. Because if you think about it, at any point throughout this journey, they can leave you, and you might not even know it. If they're still in this phase, they're going to leave you, and you won't even know that they went to your competitor instead of you. Customer experience is tough. Most companies don't quite get this yet because you need a strategy. You need a proactive way to deal with customer care, and many, many organizations out there still are not developing strategies around it, or they're just being developed. So if you haven't started this, then, you know, you're not alone. You can actually go forward and create a strategy to really help your customers through the journey. So this was something that came out recently, and it's a customer rage study. And customer rage, believe it or not, is growing. And it's growing even though we are investing more about customer service and how to deal with our customers. But if you look at some of these statistics, in the last 2 years, the number of households experiencing customer rage went up from 60% just 2 years ago to 68% in 2013. And what's even worse is that we are yelling as customers even more at customer service representatives when dealing with the worst problems. So our yelling went up 25% from 25% in previous rage studies to 36% now, and cursing went up from 7 to 13%. Now, none of us want to do this to our customer service reps, and none of us want to do this as customers. We feel rage more than we ever have before, and I think that's telling about where customer service is heading. Now, keep in mind, we're going to talk about a lot of different ways to address customers through social and through all these other channels, and Richard has some great examples later in the webinar. But I want to point out that customers are still 11 times more likely to complain by phone than online, and that's a really important thing to remember, because even though they might be vocal and you might be able to see their comments more on online, they are more likely, if they're having a serious customer service issue, to pick up the phone and call you. And so the way that you respond in those moments of truth can make or break the relationship you have with the customer. The other thing from the same customer rage study was when companies added free remedies such as an apology to any other monetary relief they gave their customers, satisfaction doubled from 37 to 74%. So just thinking about this, saying words that show empathy and sympathy that aren't necessarily part of a script can go a really, really long way. And the best companies out there are already doing this. They're not training to a script. They're training to how can we deal with these situations in an emotional way and in a very human way. And that can go a long way. In fact, there are even studies now saying that doctors who used to be told never to say I'm sorry because of malpractice, if they say they're sorry about something that went wrong, they are much less likely to get sued for malpractice. We as humans just want acknowledgement sometimes about what we are actually feeling. So if somebody is raging with you and they're upset, well, if you satisfy them in that moment, then they're likely, if they're pacified, let's say, they are likely to tell an average of 10 to 16 people about the problem and how it was resolved. If they are unsatisfied, they will tell an average of 28 people. So you can see that, again, the stakes are really high about delivering this type of customer service. So customer expectations are changing, and that's where a lot of this comes in. So a professor at Arizona State University for the Center of Services Leadership says if a company handles your complaint well, then you will typically be a more loyal customer. So the complaint gets filed, they receive this great customer service, and loyalty actually increases. But if you remove the step of customer service and it's not so great, maybe it's just average, meh customer service, and somebody, again, might be pacified but not really feel totally resolved or acknowledged, then loyalty actually goes away and in some cases decreases. So if you don't deliver that exceptional customer service when somebody has a complaint, loyalty actually increases 12% or decreases 12%. So what are some of the proactive things you can do for customer care? The first thing is basic journey mapping, and that sounds easy enough, but it's pretty challenging. I would suggest that if you don't know who your customer is or what they're going through, then it's really hard to deliver superior customer service. So because of that, I would recommend that if you know about certain problems within your experience, micro-map that out. And what do I mean by that? I mean, identify where are those sources of pain and delight. Because as you'll see, the best customer care is around being proactive and in those moments of crisis really responding with ways to emotionally connect and increase loyalty through that superior customer service. So if you know that somebody has problems on a certain part of your site, for example, and you know that you're getting those calls over and over and over again, map it out as best you can and figure out how you can proactively achieve something better for the customer. So taking that first part of the journey, awareness, consideration, and selection, this is before your customer even knows that they have a need. When they're considering, they might be doing some casual research, and then selection, when they're actually filling the need and doing some comparison shopping. So I wanted to bring up a few examples here of customer care upfront that can really help you win that customer from the beginning. So in that phase, a lot of times companies don't realize that customer service in that shopping phase and consideration phase is just as important as later on when they are actually a customer. So this is an example. Target is very good at this. On social, somebody asked a question, they addressed it right away. A lot of brands have gotten much better at this. The stakes, again, are very high because people expect responses almost immediately on social media. So setting those expectations are really critical. And then this is a great example of a field that actually isn't always well known for customer service. This is a mechanic, and I moved around a lot, and when I first moved around, I used to say, okay, I need recommendations for three areas of my life. I need healthcare providers, because you don't want to look those up in the yellow pages. You want, if you're a woman in particular, a hairstylist that you can trust, so you ask friends instead of, again, just walking into a random salon, and you want recommendations for a mechanic. And that's because we know that it's easy to be taken advantage of as a customer in those scenarios. So this local mechanic came up with this idea, and because making a promise that he could keep actually earned a lot of customers and a lot of trust. And essentially what he did was say, hey, if you walk in the door and we are going to look at your car because you have a problem, we will call you if we go over 200. If you authorize us for 200, it doesn't mean that we're going to actually spend all that. We just won't bother you. If we know that it's going to be a $30 filter change, we'll just call you when your car is ready. If we know it's going to be a problem that goes over 200, we're going to call you and let you know and walk through it with you. And he earned a ton of business and earned a lot of great reviews because he actually was putting out there, here's our promise to you, and we will keep it. And that's part of customer care up front as well. Warby Parker is a brand that some of you are probably familiar with. They kind of revolutionized the eyewear industry by providing this online shopping experience. And one of the things they did was this home try-on program. So you could order 5 different frames. They would send them to you in this beautiful box for 5 days. You could try them out and then just send back the ones you didn't want. It was a great way to show trust for the customer and let the customer really have an active role in that selection process without feeling kind of painted into a corner. And this was a promise that they could keep. And so that's part of dealing with that shopping phase. So moving into purchase and satisfaction, purchase is that moment not only when they buy from you and that transaction and what that's like, but also that whole experience. So if they're ordering something online and then it arrives and it's damaged, that's part of the purchase experience to the customer's viewpoint. So it's really important to consider these phases as complete. They're not necessarily that one transactional moment that is tracked in your data, because in our minds, we are looking at this as full experiences. And satisfaction is that phase when, yeah, you've met their expectation, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're loyal. So how can you improve that for folks as you go forward? This is an example from JCPenney, which is a brand that has had some ups and downs. This one was about Halloween, and they invited their customers to send in Halloween pictures of their kids and mark it with scary cute. And this woman did that, and they wrote back and said, that's great. Can we retweet? And what I like about this is they are asking permission and engaging the customer on a very one-to-one level, instead of just assuming it's okay to push forward to their followers without really acknowledging that they receive this and that it's a one-to-one communication. And then they also said, direct message us and we'll send you a gift card. So they're proactively rewarding her, even though they don't know necessarily if she's a customer, but she will be once they send her that gift card. And they're really looking for ways to have that one-to-one communication, regardless of where they are in the flow, but they're encouraging that purchase situation to be a really positive one. With the gift card, somebody's going to go in there feeling really good about this interaction and feeling really good about being rewarded for it. Now, one of the things that I wanted to point out was that the pain of switching between brands or between services or anything is very much about it's gone down for the consumer. So we as customers have a lot more choice, and we are more likely to activate that choice. Banking is one of the ones that's coming around. It was hard when a few years ago to switch your banking, but now it's pretty easy, and they're even incenting competitors online or even incenting customers to switch by saying, we will cover the switching fees, we will do whatever it takes to get you as a customer. And so even customers of certain banks who've been there forever see these different opportunities, and they think, well, what's the harm? I can try it out. And that's really why satisfaction is a dangerous place to be, because if you only have satisfied customers, they're more likely to be wooed away by your competition without you even recognizing that's what's happening. So fracturing the experience is something we see over and over and over. And for instance, filing customer service as one area of the experience and not understanding that it's really part of the entire journey is a critical misstep that a lot of brands make. And right now, customers don't think we're very good at customer service. Those customer rage statistics certainly show that. But also, right now, they're saying, you know what? Everything is kind of mediocre. It takes a lot to wow customers, and it takes a lot to delight them. But delight is where you really get the feedback that you need that they're going to be loyal. This is another example of somebody expressing rage, for sure. And this is a pretty long comment, but you can see that they mention customer to service department, and they also say down here, I don't trust them enough to give them my credit card information. And this is happening more and more, too, as people are exposed to things like the NSA discussions and online privacy discussions and all these things. They're growing more concerned about actual brands and companies not trusting their information or privacy as well. And once you lose that trust, it's really difficult to get that back. So in this case, somebody says, be persistent until you are a satisfied customer. And the original poster says, at this point, that's not going to happen. I don't trust them with my information. So how can you understand what's happening with social disservice? It's more than unfortunate word of mouth. It's really bigger than that because people are sharing this not only with the brands online but with everybody else. And a lot of the brands are just ignoring it, and that becomes this big snowball effect, where if you're ignoring these things online, if you're ignoring customer service issues, then people are more than willing to tell their entire networked community about that. So here are some ideas about keeping up with those competitors and keeping up with your customers. Your customers are comparing notes, so get creative in search. If you are only searching for your brand name, you are going to be missing a lot of the conversations that your customers are having. So one of the ways that you can think about this is, what if somebody wants to switch from your brand or looking for alternatives for your product? You can put in phrases like that, and things will come up that really guide you to what people are looking for. So if you're BMO Harris Bank, you see that the Blackhawks debit card is a big hit with this person. But if you keep looking, you might see that people want to switch because the fees are too high or because they have these complaints that aren't getting resolved. That gives you a lot of insight onto where to proactively fix those issues, but also how to train your customer service reps to deal with these things in a insightful and empathic way. And this is another one where somebody's complaining, and you can look at, you know, it's a tough one to swallow, but if you do searches on hating your company or product name, that can give you a lot of insight, or loving your company product name. What do they love about it? That's another way to help your customer service reps and the customer-facing individuals that you have really understand how to bring that out, how to talk about those things that people love and help them feel better about the product. Maybe after a certain customer issue that's resolved a certain way, people love it more. So now you know that there's a best practice out there for you to follow. This is really where you want to be with your customers, loyalty and advocacy. Everybody would love loyal customers, and everybody would love advocates. Loyalty is really about guiding somebody down the path where they feel like they are super happy, and they don't need to go off the path. And loyalty really matters, because if you can reduce customer churn by 5%, just 5%, you can increase profits by 25 to 125%. and the probability of selling to a new prospect is 5 to 20%, but the probability of selling to an existing customer is 60 to 70%. And this is great information, again, to share with your customer service folks, because a lot of times the complaint around loyalty is that loyalty doesn't matter. So once a customer has stayed with you for a long time, they don't feel like they're treated any differently or they're respected or acknowledged. And so helping your customer service reps actually acknowledge that as part of the process can go a long, long way towards those cost-free ways to increase loyalty long-term. A few brands do this really well. American Express is one of them. They actually always acknowledge how long somebody's been what they call a member, and it goes a long way. People really appreciate that recognition. And right now there's a lot of talk about brand advocates, and so I just wanted to touch upon this briefly because a lot of that is around trying to pay bloggers and all these different folks. That is coming across as inauthentic in a lot of cases, so you really need to find the people who are your advocates. They're going out there and they're talking about your brand in positive ways, and they're really helping your brand move along because they believe in it so much. Those are the folks that you really want to bring into the fold and help them express their love. And so these are some examples from brands who help their customers showcase their love for them. So Moose Jaw is one of my favorite examples. They're an outdoor equipment and clothing retailer, and they send these flags to their customers, and their customers pose all over the world with these flags, and they post those photos in all sorts of different ways. And so customers feel like they're part of the process and not just being told, you know, it's a transaction. And these are some other great examples of proactive advocacy. And you can see here people are just expressing their love because of the customer service that they receive. This is really what everybody should be aiming for, aside from just recovering those customers who are in peril. So how can you scale this? This is always the question we get, and this is a challenge. But here are some of the best brands who have scaled incredibly well. One is Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines over and over and over is told that they're ranked very highly for their customer service. And one of the big differences that they have among the airline industry is, number one, their mission really is about customer service. Many of the mission statements of other airlines don't mention customers, don't mention service. They mention shareholders, and it's much more corporate. And so really, looking at this, they communicate this brand mission everywhere, and they communicate it often. And that helps your customer service people and every customer-facing individual you have really internalize what they're there to do. And so instead of just following a script, they really can connect in a very human way with people because they understand this mission. Another is to hire right, train around your customers as people, not tasks. Zappos actually is always, again, ranked very highly for their customer care and their customer service. They even made commercials highlighting some of their customer service reps and conversations. And so one of the things that really sets them apart is their training. They actually have an additional 3 weeks of training after the first standard 4 weeks so that there's a 7-week total before anybody's allowed on the phone as a customer service rep. And that, I think, speaks volumes about how they treat their own people and how they make sure that they're ready, but also they want to make sure that they're the right people and they are trained effectively to deal with customers directly. It's a very effective strategy, and it's something that even if you don't have the 7 weeks, focusing on how you're training those customer service reps can go a very, very long way. And keep listening. Social has become a big part of this, but that's not the only way to listen. So 53% of people who engage with a brand on Twitter expect a response in 1 hour or less. So if you don't have that part of your strategy up to speed, you really have to look at ways to set expectations with customers so if you're not going to be there all the time, they can see that and understand it, or really ramp up how you can respond to them faster. And 57% of customers think that a brand's customer service response time should be the same on the weekdays and weekends. And this is something where, again, setting the right expectations can go a long way. If you set the expectations that here's when we're available, here's when we can respond to you, customers are much more likely to be okay with that, rather than being let down or feeling like they should receive that response and not getting it. and only 36% of customers said they were able to get their issue resolved quickly. And this is a great thing to compare with your own statistics. So what are you seeing as what your own analytics tell you? How quickly can you resolve that issue? It might be very different than this. And so it's really important to pay attention to what the customers are saying and not just what your analytics are saying, because analytics probably tell most of the story but not all of the story. And 90% of customers say buying decisions now are influenced by online reviews, so it's really critical to keep an eye on that and also address them as necessary. The best brands are not just ignoring the ones that have true, valid complaints. They're responding, in many cases, publicly, because that shows your other customers how they will be dealt with, that it's important that we're listening and that we're responding. And finally, just keep saying thank you. And this goes back to that kind of cost-free option. If you can say thank you in a lot of different ways, customers are going to share that and become more loyal and advocate for you. Sports teams are an obvious way to do this, where they actually say thank you for your support in 2013. But other brands do this really well, too. Warby Parker, again, is a great example. They actually send videos sometimes to their customers just to say thank you. And it could be a 30-second video, but it's somebody that they spoke to on the phone and said, I really enjoyed talking to you. Handwritten notes are another great way to do this when shipping something out or resolving a problem. Having the person write a handwritten note to the customer can go a long way as well. And so what I'll leave you with is knowing your customer's journey helps your entire customer experience, and it's super critical for those moments of crisis with customer, when a customer needs that responsive customer service and that reaction. If you know exactly where they are in the journey, that can go a long way to helping you understand how to actually respond. And I know Richard has some great examples of how to do that in the moment. So thanks. This is all the way you can find me.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeannie. That was excellent. And really appreciate your your insights, and what a great storyteller also. So now we're going to move to the next part of the presentation, and that is with Richard Wagner from CabinetPorts.com. He's the director of web services. So, Richard, why don't you take it away?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Hi everyone. My name is Richard Wagner. I'm the web developer and the head of the web department for CabinetPorts.com. Just to give you a little bit of background of CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts was founded in 1997 by our gracious president, Pat Abbey, and I joined the web team back in 2005. We're an online retailer that started selling just a few hinges, and now the company has over 40,000 high-end products that ship from about 22 different shipping locations in the U.S. Since the company was started, it has had an amazing double-digit growth year over year since 1997, which definitely poses a lot of challenges. So to start off, Cabinet Parts always has had its core focus on great service. And what does great service mean for us, and what are the goals that we try to accomplish? We'll sum it up. We try to provide service 100% of the time, not just the 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, which is only roughly about 20% of the time. Second, online shoppers must feel that we're listening and able to assist, because anyone in e-commerce knows that any question can sway the customer from purchasing, especially if they need to email and wait for a response. Lastly, all responses come from a highly skilled service rep. Our customers come to us for our expertise, but we want to make sure our reps are ex-handymen and builders. So some of the challenges that we've had, having these high standards for great service poses many scalable challenges. To name a few, we decided to staff our service team with highly experienced service agents. You want their time to be spent answering intricate questions, not low-level questions like, how long does it take to ship, do you ship internationally, and do you charge sales tax? Next, usually using traditional email to answer questions its own set of issues. For instance, knowledge is not being saved, shared, and usually provides a slower response rate, which in return will lead to lower conversion rates. And when you're growing like us, this approach isn't the most scalable solution and will constantly cause challenges. So the solution that we decided to try out last year was going with NanoRep. I don't know if many of you have used the NanoRep product, but I'll go over some of the key features. We ended up integrating all the NanoRep's features. They have quite a lot that you can choose from. The first was the floating customer widget. This widget hovers in the bottom left corner of every page, similar to live chat window. And I have a screenshot for you on the next slide to show the example of that. Second was the product page widget. This widget is displayed on every product page, and I also have a slide that will go deeper into that. And lastly, when we integrated the FAQs in the customer service section and also placed it above the contact us form. So anybody that was going to contact us, the most popular questions will be right in their face, and most likely they will get the answer from those questions, and if it's not there, they'll write us in. Okay, so a little bit about the integration. The initial integration was really quick. We had it live in less than 48 hours. In the beginning, we decided to launch it before having any info put inside the knowledge base, and we would just add the answers based off of the questions being asked in the NanoRep question form. Our most experienced sales rep is in charge of monitoring the search history and adding answers into the knowledge base weekly. We measure his success by monitoring the answer rate percentage, and inside NanoRep, they give you tons of stats and stuff that you can go by. And so really the answer rate, if we're always trying to get that one to be improved. And so we do have a dedicated sales rep who focuses on making sure that we're moving up in that area. One part of NanoRep we weren't aware of until we signed up was the ticket system. This has been a great feature for our team. Makes it easy for us to queue pending customer emails, see time to answer metrics. It saves all the answer history so that way we can help build the knowledge base, and there's many more features. I'm only going through the top of them. And then currently we have 200 questions in the knowledge base. This sounds like a low number, but whenever you look at the total stats, out of those 200 questions, NanoRep answers 10,000 answers a month. So customers are asking these questions, these 200 questions, more than 10,000 times a month. So this really does free up our sales staff to worry about the more intricate style questions that really is about their expertise and not the lower level questions, as I spoke of. So let's see what this looks like. Okay, so the screenshot shows the floating widget. This is actually my favorite feature of NanoRep. The auto answer keeps the customer in the buying cycle. It's similar to live chat, but available 100% of the time. If your company is a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday company like ours, that means that the live chat is only available 20% of the time. This would provide a low-cost solution to that. So in this screenshot here, you see where it says, do you ship? That's where the customer is typing. And NanoRep has the autocomplete answers that are suggesting what the most popular might be. So do you ship to Canada? Do you offer free shipping? What is the shipping cost for this order? And then it displays nicely the answer below it. So that's the piece that's happening here. And then, of course, if these answers come up with nothing, they can submit the question to us, and then we can answer it to the next customer. We'll have it automatically answered. Okay. This was another unexpected feature once we signed up. This widget will help you understand what's important to your clients. When a customer starts typing in this box, NanoRep will trap what they wrote without the customer needing to submit a question. This allows you to see the customer, what the customer is thinking. For instance, when they're on the cart page and getting ready to purchase, we noticed that there was questions like, how long before this item ships, how much is shipping, what is your return policy? This will allow you to make changes based off of this customer feedback. For us, this feature is extremely valuable data, and we use this regularly, and so that's how we're, okay, we need to present better shipping expectations or return policies and whatnot. So this is, they have a real nice in the control panel where they'll sort and group all the same questions that are coming together. So really it just takes you 5 seconds to see here's what the top questions are being asked. All right. This screenshot shows the product page widget. This is similar to the floating widget, but allows you to list out the most popular questions about that product. This widget also traps the same way as the floating widget what the user is typing, so your sales reps can easily go in there, answer the question, and then the next user who comes to this page will automatically see that question and the answer on this page. And we use all of these. These are actually screenshots of our site here. So let's get down to some of the results that we've seen so far. When a customer interacts with a NanoRep, they are 3 times more likely to convert and place an order. Those numbers are fantastic, and we're continuing to improve that daily here. Earlier when I said answering questions immediately can make or break a purchase, here's an example of a simple question that has resulted in 60 conversions in the last 30 days, which was, where are you located? We noticed them typing this in right before they placed their order on the cart page. This is customers wanting to verify our location before purchasing. There's a psychological aspect to that, and I'm not really going to get deep into that right now. The next one is NanoRep is providing over 10,000 answers, automatic answers per month. That's a staggering number, considering that that relieves our sales team from having to answer these same questions over and over and over. So the customer gets the answer, and they can keep going with their buying cycle, keep going through the process. And currently, NanoRep automatically answers 30% of the questions that are being asked. And as I just said, this cuts down the overhead on our customer service staff and offers a more efficient and scalable solution for us. And some other results that we've seen. NanoRep is constantly recording the user questions and concerns, providing a great opportunity to learn what the customers are thinking. Next, with NanoRep answering 30% of the questions, this allows our sales team to focus on the more intricate questions and helping customers build out their home improvement projects. Also, a side note, we're always working to improve the auto answer rate. It's a constant battle. Next, customers can get instant answers 100% of the time, not the 9-to-5 banking hours. Following that, the faster response time to email inquiries. NanoRep's ticketing system offers answers based on previously closed questions and makes it easy to delegate emails throughout the sales team. So you can even make rules that says if there's a hinge word inside this question, then automatically assign it to the hinge team. And it also, if you don't know anything about cabinet hardware, it automatically will show you what previously answered questions were, and then you can kind of see if this answer's already been answered, this question's already been answered, and then you just do the one click, and the customer gets that answer. And finally, NanoRep provides an overall improved user experience. When a customer sees the widget, it gives the perception that we're online ready to help. For us, we ended up titling our floating widget Ask an Agent. Also, once the customer sees all the answers, it gives the perception that we are a large, popular company and makes them more confident in knowing what to expect when they order from us. So at this time, I'm going to pass the mic over to Melissa, who's going to take some questions. Thanks, and I hope you found this presentation helpful.
Great. Thank you so much for going over that, Richard. Good to have a real-world example on these webinars about how to improve your customer service. So I want to tell the folks out there that we have some time and we have some great experts here. So if you have any questions, please feel free to send them over. you know, we're ready. We're here and ready to answer them. So we did get some questions earlier, so I'm going to look through some of those and start with this one. Jeannie, this actually, I think this one would be great for you, and it's probably not something that you can answer in like 2 minutes. But could you, how do you sort of change the culture to make it more customer centric in a company? I mean, I'm sure there's, I'm sure you can go on forever on that, but just I'd love to hear your perspective.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. Essentially, nothing can really happen until the culture is customer centric. And yet, for so long, we really did focus on transactional data as telling us whether or not we were successful as an organization. So a lot of companies are struggling with this, and there are a couple things I always recommend. One is, like it or not, it has to come from the top. And so if your leadership is not really invested, it's really, really difficult to change the direction of the company and make it more focused on the customers. So that's one thing where if you can get the right leadership in, that's really the key. That's not always feasible at some point. So another thing is to really have a mission that is customer-focused and to make sure your customers are represented in your key performance indicators and in the analytics that you follow inside your metrics, because there are plenty of dashboards out there that, you know, folks follow religiously within organizations that literally don't ever have the customer anywhere in their data. So they talk about transactional data in call centers. Sometimes they talk about, you know, time on phone or time resolved, but they're really not looking at what are we doing for our customers and what are they saying back to us. So making sure you have some sort of metric around that. Customer satisfaction is still a metric that's valid. I would just recommend that you don't lean on that completely, because satisfied does not equal loyalty. There are some other ones out there. Net Promoter Score is a very popular one about would you recommend to a friend. That's a great one. It's easy to internalize, but it's not right for every company. So it's really important to look at what's right for your organization. And then finally, I would say, you know, it comes down to hiring. There are some people who get this. It's in their bones, and they're really great at it. And those are the people you want to find. And, in fact, those two examples I brought up of Southwest Airlines and Zappos, they spend a lot of time hiring the right people. And that's half the battle, because in certain circumstances, no matter how much instruction or no matter how much scripting or preparation you have, I mean, customers are human, and we are very irrational, and we are very emotional. And so you cannot predict every single customer service thing that will happen. And so it's really important to have people who can use their best judgment and represent that mission of delivering service to the customers as best they can in those moments of crisis. And so if you can get those things right, then everything else is kind of gravy. Everything else you can put in processes, you can do your journey mapping, you can do all the due diligence that's super important. But first, you've got to kind of get the right people on the bus.
Great. That's a great answer. I'm sure it's easier said than done. So we did get a couple of questions. I'm not sure if this is something that you can answer, Richard, but we did get a couple of questions about whether or not the NanoRep product or service integrates with CRM systems, which I think that's kind of an interesting idea. You know, in general, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I can briefly talk about that. I do know that they do have some integration options for you if you have, like, a third-party knowledge base or ticket system. I can see that in the control panel. It would be best for you just to go to nanorep.com and just contact them, and they would really be able to look further into that for you, because their team is very responsive with the type of integrations you want to do. So it would be best just for you to just go to nanorep.com, and then they would be able to take it from there.
And just for the benefit of those listening, I mean, what is the benefit for that for a customer, you know, for a product such as NanoRep to integrate with the CRM system? Is it just, can you just kind of give an example of how that would be helpful?
I guess, you know, it would probably be if they're already used to using, like, their own ticketing system on a day-to-day basis, then NanoRep would be able to scan that ticketing system, so that way you have suggestions of what to put inside the knowledge base. See, for us, we just went full force, all everything NanoRep in this case, because we wanted it all in one place. But if you're an organization that has contracts already signed with with these other ticketing systems, I could see that changeover might not be as easy as what it was for us.
Okay, makes sense for sort of organizing your data and making it easy to access it and stuff. So, Jeannie, I have another question directed to you. You spoke about journey mapping. Can you just briefly go over that again and then offer some of the best resources you know of to learn more about this or how to get started with it?
Sure, yeah. Journey mapping is really effective, and you can do it a bunch of different ways. My recommendation is if you've never done it before, just go ahead and start high level. Figure out where your customer is going through all of those phases of awareness through advocacy and what happens to them in those moments and where are the different paths that they can take. And you can do that by just gathering some people in a room and figuring it out with whiteboards and post-it notes and all that stuff. There are some great blogs out there about it. There are some great instructions about it. I'll plug my own blog. We have a couple journey mapping instructional blogs on 360connect.com. And we also, you can also go into a lot of detail in journey mapping as well. So you can use your analytics and what you know about the customers and apply that to the journey mapping to make sure it all syncs up. And then the best thing to do is actually validate that with your customers. So once you have kind of the skeleton of what you're working with, bring in customers and ask them, "What is this? What's happening to you?" In retail environments, it's great if you can observe in the moment and actually watch customers interacting with the shopping experience and how that moves on to the to loyalty or not. And so it's really it's a great way to investigate what's happening in the real world with your customers. It is a big topic, but there are ways to do it where even if you take a couple hours and just, you know, do the best you can, you will get information from that.
Cool, great idea. Let's see, a couple questions directed to Richard, and then we'll go back to another question for Jeannie. But Richard, could you talk a little bit about some other products that you evaluated before you started working with NanoRep?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to look at the list. I know that we looked at a ton of different products. None of them had the full package, the ticketing system, the knowledge base, the auto answers. We didn't really find any that were concrete enough and that had been out there enough for us to actually trust. We were using, like, OLARC for the chat, and then we were using another ticketing system, and then we were just kind of tying them all together. They would just pull up all the screens. So I wish I could find that for you, but I don't have that information with me.
Okay, no worries. So another question, too, is around, and I think this is kind of an interesting concept, the idea of whether or not using the NanoRep service impacted your SEO.
You know, that's actually a big concern of ours, too. I guess the best answer is it didn't negatively impact our SEO. They do have an SEO package that we actually have and we will be implementing this year to where the questions that you have on the product details pages, you can have it to where it's actual HTML hard-coded into the page so that way the search engines can actually pick it up. We're waiting till we get the knowledge base larger with more items and stuff, and then we're going to actually integrate that package into it. But NanoRep does have where you can just create your PHP API to grab that information and actually put it in the web page versus it being a widget. So that would be the route to go to help you SEO-wise.
That's an interesting thought. But anyway, let's move on to a question for Jeannie, and that is we get these questions a lot about expected response times for companies, especially smaller companies that are getting a lot of requests and sort of what's the customer's expected response time to a sales request by email using the link on a company's website?
That's a really good question. My answer to that would be that it's up to you to set those expectations. and make sure they're consistent. And so what I mean by that is that there are certain times when we say we are going to respond in, 3 to 4 hours. Once we've made that promise as an organization, it's really important we keep that promise. So the more you can have some sort of control over that, the better. I would say 24 hours is maximum in today's world, and actually that's not really acceptable. So people are expecting things within a few hours, at least acknowledgement that we've heard you and we're working on it. So, but I've seen a lot of examples lately where the expectations are not consistent. So, for instance, it says, thanks for submitting. You might get an automatic response that says, thanks for submitting. We'll get back to you in 24 hours. And then on other places in the site, it might say, we'll get back to you in a few hours. And then the person might not get a response for 48 hours. That's what kind of leads up to that customer rage. So it's really important that you set the right expectations and make sure that you're delivering on those throughout.
That's great. I actually wanted to ask you, Jeannie, sort of in the age of mobile, I mean, is mobile making folks expect more out of their customer service experiences in general? And do you have any sort of best practices around mobile when it comes to customer service?
Well, I would say mobile is certainly a huge part of the customer experience now, and more people are interacting with mobile in ways that they hadn't in the past every day. So customers are definitely shopping on mobile more than ever, and they are looking for ways to interact on mobile that are easy. So it's really important to look at the mobile experience that your customers are having and check out things like what happens if they are looking for help or if they're looking for customer service. Some of those links on mobile are really small and hard to use. So what can you do to add something better? So you look at how, the big players are doing it, Amazon and folks like that. They make it really kind of almost like the floating widget where you can pull up help very easily. You can you can interact with customer service via chat very easily on mobile. All of those things, because if somebody's using mobile, they might be in a situation where they don't want to call. They might be on a bus, or they might be in all these different situations where it's just not easy to actually call. And so having more online help, more ways that you can interact with them in the moment is really important for customer service.
Yeah, definitely. Richard, let me ask you sort of a more general question, but can you talk about some best practices around, or sort of, your comments around integrating a customer service product such as NanoReps into your system? I mean, are there any sort of best practices around that, or, what should someone expect if they're going to be using one of these tools? What should they expect in terms of integrating?
That's kind of a tough question. The part I would probably recommend for anybody is just start small. Don't try overthinking it. Spend months on getting together every question that you've ever had to build out this knowledge base before you just get the product. I think NanoRep gives you enough information and analytics and what they're actually using to guide you on the right path of optimizing and making it better. So, for us, or for anybody getting ready to start it, maybe just go put the little widget in the corner and then start seeing what type of questions are being asked on there, what type of – and that kind of will lead you in, refining it over time. And that's how pretty much our approach was, is let the stats kind of lead us and see what the customers – how the customers are using this product and grow from there instead of really overthinking, because, we have millions of already pre-answered questions that are in the email database that we have, and we decided to not overthink it, just start small, and it really grew from there, and it's continuing to grow from there.
Okay, great. I'm sure every situation is different, but it's good to get like an outline of what to expect. Also, just to let you know, NanoRep, does have a mobile version of their software, so you can check that out on their site as well. I think we probably that's probably all we have time for in terms of questions. So thanks everybody for your attention and for listening in today. Before we end, I would like to say thank you, first of all, to everybody who's attended today's webinar. Thank you so much for coming. And also I'd love to thank our wonderful speakers, Jeannie Walters and Richard Wagner. And let's see, if you have any questions, also, if you wouldn't mind taking a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, that we would be forever grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to them in the future, to you in the future. And let's see, also I just would like to inform you, everyone listening, that they can subscribe to our publication, Retail Online Integration, and our newsletter, ROI Report, via the free widget on the site here. So anyway, thank you all so much, and I hope to see everyone at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Bye-bye.